The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'd like to start today by asking you a couple of questions. First of all, what do you want most for your kids? Anybody got some ideas? Let's hear them. Sorry? Joy?
To love God.
Success? To love God? Excellent. That's a good start.
Happiness.
Happiness. Fantastic. And good health. Yep, absolutely. Fair enough. And the second question is similar, but a little bit different. What's the most important thing that you as parents can give to your kids? And if we've got children here today, they also think about, you know, what would you have liked for your parents to have given you? Love?
Time.
Time?
The gospel.
The gospel, absolutely. All right, so you guys have come up with a list of a few things. And I know that not all of us may be your parents, but like Paul, who became a spiritual father to Timothy, we all have the capacity to guide and to nurture and support the faith of others and be spiritual mentors, spiritual mothers and fathers to those around us. And like real parenting, this is a really important role. Now, I had a little bit of a look on the internet at all the parenting advice that you can get there these days during the week. And it seems as though there are really only two things that share a general consensus as essential parts of parenting your children. The first, and you guys already guessed one of them, is unconditional love. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that as a parent, sometimes this comes fairly naturally, and other times it seems almost impossible. But as we celebrate our own mothers today and think about our lives with them, I hope we can all recall some of those times when we've been acutely aware of their love for us. But perhaps we can also identify as times where we might have wondered if our mothers still loved us because of the shenanigans we got up to as children. The second thing that is identified as a key thing to give our children if we want them to grow up healthy and strong and stable, is hope. Now, I'm not quite so sure how we give our children hope. Most of us know how to love. After all, we say, "I love you," all the time. But I don't think I've ever heard somebody say, "I hope you." It doesn't quite work the same way. But I suspect what's really being spoken about here is the idea of giving our children a sense of purpose and positive expectations for the future. Giving them the ability to believe in a future which provides them with opportunity and significance. And I think we do this by being positive about the future ourselves. Now, you may disagree with me, but I believe that this is becoming something that's even more difficult for mums and dads today. When we look at the world around us, it's easy to despair and to lose hope. No wonder that we have a day set aside for mums, and later in the year for dads as well, to honour them for the effort that they make, because the task that we give them is almost impossible. And anyone who's prepared to give it a go deserves to be celebrated. So the question is, can we make it simpler? And I think that we can. In the passage of scripture that we just heard from in 2 Timothy, Paul gives thanks for Timothy's faith, which he has received from his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Two women who were mothers themselves, who knew that the love and hope that they could give to Timothy would not be enough by itself. So they made sure that their son and grandson Timothy encountered Jesus. This was their gift and legacy to him. And what a legacy that actually is. We might have dreams of leaving our children a large inheritance, something to help them through this life. But Lois and Eunice's gift was an eternal legacy. In helping Timothy to come to know Christ Jesus, he received true faith, hope, and love for this life and the next. This kind of love is the best kind of love because we can't do anything to lose it. There's nothing that we can do to make God love us more, and nothing we can do that will make him love us less. The kind of hope that we receive in Christ Jesus is the best kind of hope because it's an eternal hope, a hope of eternal life through Christ, a hope that cannot be shaken. So here's the good news for all you mums out there today. The unconditional love of Christ will cover you when your own love tank starts to feel a bit empty. And when you can't find light at the end of the tunnel and are feeling hopeless, Jesus offers us himself as a light for our path and for our children. So the best way to give our children unconditional love and hope is to give them Jesus. But how do we do that? Now, I think there are three ways. First of all, Paul talks of Lois and Eunice's faith in a special way. He says that it is a faith that lived in them. We often think of faith as something that we have, something we possess. And we've become accustomed to talking about it as a set of beliefs or teachings that we hold to, or something that we hold to be true. We identify ourselves as members of the Christian faith. Others might identify as Jewish or Muslim. And in that sense, faith is simply a philosophy or a way of thinking that we ascribe to. And we use this kind of language all the time. We say that we teach the faith. And when we do this, what we mean is that we teach about Jesus. We teach those things which we think are essential to being a Christian. We teach the rules and regulations, the theology and the traditions. And there is some value in this, to be sure. But a living faith is a faith of action, not just of knowledge. Knowing about Jesus doesn't mean that we have a vibrant relationship with him. Truly encountering Jesus involves building a relationship, a living relationship, and it requires a living faith. A living faith is a faith that is lived, and the power to do this comes as a gift from a living God. It's a faith that causes us to behave in a different way, not from a sense of obligation to a set of rules, but in response to the love and hope that it brings in Christ. A living faith encounters a living Jesus. A living Jesus who brings love and hope alive in the actions and attitudes of those who trust in him. This is where our children and others will encounter Jesus. When our faith in him comes alive and causes our lives to be different. And these days, it doesn't take much for our lives to look different. The simple act of taking a few seconds before a meal to thank God for his provision and goodness to us demonstrates that we acknowledge him as the sustainer of our lives. What if instead of only praying in private with the doors closed, we also got together and prayed as a family? Or as a group in the community? What if instead of being so obsessed with ourselves and our own problems, we took time to check in with each other? Sorry. Excuse me, everybody. What if instead of being so obsessed with ourselves and our own problems, we took time to check in with each other and share each other's burdens? What if we were driven not by concern for the size of our bank accounts, but instead were motivated by growing God's kingdom? Isn't that how people will see that we are different? Isn't that how people see Jesus and receive a living faith in him. But just like physical life needs taking care of through healthy diet and exercise and healthy sleep patterns, a living faith also needs to be nurtured and looked after. The second way that we act as spiritual parents is as coaches or trainers. Until children are a certain age and they have the financial freedom to do otherwise, their parents are responsible for what they eat. And parents and other significant adults, like teachers, will set the agenda for a child's day. If people new to faith are not coached or mentored or taught what practices are helpful for maintaining a living faith, it will not be living for very long. Obviously, taking on board good nutrition is important. God's word is our first point of call for spiritual nutrition. But like a bowl of all-brand cereal, sometimes it's a little hard to digest. Reading scripture together with someone further along their spiritual journey can make it so much easier. It gives us an opportunity to discuss and question what God is saying. It helps us find ways to apply God's word to our lives. And it makes us accountable to each other. It reminds me somewhat of my first visit to a gym. I could have gone there every day for a month, but it wouldn't have done me any good because I had no idea how to use most of the equipment. It was only after a trainer showed me how to use the equipment and what equipment would help me achieve my goals that the gym became a helpful place to be. We also sometimes need help identifying which things to avoid. The choices we make model to our children the things that we think are valuable. If we fill our lives and homes with things that distract us from God, then they will usually end up following our pattern of behavior. Children will often do what their parents do, not what their parents say. We can also model and teach healthy rest patterns. Taking time out with God on a regular basis is an important part of a healthy faith, and it's the first thing that tends to get left behind when life gets busy. It's often necessary for us to find some quiet time so we can focus, find a quiet place by ourselves. But when we do that, we take ourselves out of a place where our children can see what's going on. So if you're like me and you actually do need somewhere quiet and you can't do your quiet time with other people around, perhaps just let your children know that that's what you do. Let them see that spending time with God and building that relationship is something that's important for you. And finally, we all need an encourager. Paul needed to remind Timothy to rekindle the gift of God that was in him. And we get this sense from Paul that Timothy, despite the living faith that he had, was a timid and possibly scared young leader of the church at Ephesus. In this letter, Paul is Timothy's spiritual encourager. God wants to lead us along the road that brings us closer to him. But unfortunately for us, that road is not always easy. We get scared. Scared of pain, scared of others' opinions, scared of getting it wrong. We all have potential to be spiritual encouragers and walk alongside others and help them get along the way. See, Paul picked up where Lois and Eunice left off. He reminds Timothy that the spirit who God placed in him, passed on to him through his mother and grandmother, is not a spirit of timidity or of cowardice, but one of power, love, and self-discipline. A living faith is not a weakness that allows others to trample all over you. It is a faith that empowers us to show love to others and bring them to an encounter with Christ. It's a faith that pushes forward into the future regardless of the circumstances or the opposition. It's a faith that wants to be shared because bundled up inside of it are all the promises of God. This is how the body of Christ grows. It does not just impact the next generation for the rest of their lives, like a nice big inheritance might. It changes eternity, not just for our children, but also for those who will encounter Jesus through them. The way that they encountered Jesus, hopefully through us. What other thing could we possibly want to give or pass on to our children that would compare with everything that Jesus has won for us and wants to give to all of us? So let us make our number one priority to live the faith that is living in us so that all the world may encounter Jesus, the living and resurrected Jesus.